Last time we were on the pastor study together, we began a new study entitled Things That the Christian Can Lose. We saw clearly from the Word of God one of the things that we can't lose is salvation, which eternally secure, and we spent a considerable amount of time looking at some verses in the scriptures that teach us that a born-again child of God cannot lose their salvation. But then we turned and started to look at some things that a Christian can lose. And one of the things a Christian can lose, we began last time to look at, was his or her testimony. And we began to look at some illustrations in the Bible of individuals who lost their testimony. We can also see another individual that lost their testimony with the Apostle Paul was John Mark. Remember, he had lost his testimony after he had deserted Paul and Barnabas there on their first missionary journey. And then we see Paul and Barnabas were set to start their second missionary journey, and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along. He wanted to give John Mark another chance. However, there grew great contention between Paul and Barnabas overtaking John Mark on their second missionary journey. And we want to look at the tension that this caused between these two great men of God. Beginning in Acts chapter 15 and verse 37, and it says, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria of Cilicia, confirming the churches." So we see that Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways, amen. Barnabas ended up taking, I believe, John Mark was his nephew. We never really hear much of them again. But Paul picks up his partner on the second missionary journey with Silas, amen. It took a while, but John Mark eventually regained his testimony with the Apostle Paul. But I'm sure their relationship was never the once it was originally was, amen. It was never the same. But notice what Paul writes in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and you have to remember that 2 Timothy chapter 4 was written at the end of Paul's life, just before he was to be beheaded, amen, for the cause of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 11, notice what he says. He says that he said, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." So we see then that here we have that John Mark, amen, his testimony is reestablished here, or Paul feels that he's profitable for the ministry, amen. So fortunately he was to get his testimony back with Paul, amen. But again, I believe their relationship was not as it once was, amen. But praise the Lord that we see that Paul recognized that John Mark was profitable for the ministry, and he told them to bring John Mark with them to Paul. You know, I have also a personal experience. The first church that I was in after I got saved, that's going on almost 17 years ago, praise the Lord. But the first pastor of that church where I was saved, amen, the first pastor that I studied under, I loved him very much, but unfortunately he fell to the sin of adultery, amen. And you know, what a sad situation that was. That church ended up closing its doors, and Many people stop going to church, amen, stop serving God over it, amen. What an unfortunate situation. So a Christian can lose their testimony, amen. You see, the unsaved are watching you and I closely, waiting for us to slip up. In one instant, you can bring reproach upon yourself, your family, and the cause of Christ. Don't ever have the prideful attitude that some Christians have, unfortunately, that it could never happen to me or I would never, ever do that. The Word of God warns us about that, does it not? It says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And that, of course, is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So we see the first thing that the Christian can lose is his testimony. The second thing a Christian can lose is his rewards. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to see here how a Christian, you know, as we said, a Christian cannot lose their testimony. I mean, they can lose their testimony, but they can't lose their salvation. You're eternally secure, but certainly a Christian can lose their rewards. And of course, rewards are something that you earn after you're saved, amen, through serving the Lord, amen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse number 10, we read, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, of course, Paul is talking here about our spiritual foundation. Amen. The foundation that we're to build upon, of course, is Jesus Christ. That's how an individual is saved by faith and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from dying and going to a sinner's hell. And then it says, "Now, if any man build upon this foundation," the foundation we've seen here identified as Jesus Christ, and here's the building materials. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones," that's one group of building materials, and of course, these things are last. These things, the gold, silver, precious stones, are lasting materials. And then we have the second group, wood, hay, and stubble, of course, are materials that do not last, that can be easily burnt up. In verse 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." Everything that you do after you're saved is going to be revealed there at the judgment seat of Christ. "For the day shall declare it," and that's going to be the day, the judgment seat of Christ, "because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Amen. So, of course, if your work is in the gold, silver, precious stone group, it's going to be tried by fire, and it'll come through the fire. But if what you've been doing for the Lord is in that wood, hay, and stubble group, as the fire is turned up on it, the heat's turned up, it's going to go up in flames, amen, and the ashes will remain, amen, and there'll be nothing left, amen. And, of course, he says, "In the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." What's the motivation behind it? You know, anything you did, was it to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ or to bring attention to yourself, amen? Then he goes and he says, "If any man's work abide, which he hath thereupon, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." So after it goes through the fire, if it still remains, you're going to receive a reward. "Now, if any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss." If your work after you got saved is in that wood, hay, and stubble group, the fire destroyed it, went up in flames, amen, it doesn't remain, amen, then you're going to lose a reward. You're going to suffer loss. "But he himself," here it is, "but he himself," talking about those who lose a reward, who suffer loss, "shall be saved." Amen. Praise the Lord. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're going to lose your rewards, but not your salvation, yet so as by fire. And then look also with me in the second epistle of John, the second epistle of John with me in verse 8. The second epistle of John in verse 8. We see here in the Word of God, we're told, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And again, the Apostle John in this case is showing that that you can't lose your reward. Things done through the Lord will earn rewards that remain. Things done through self, my friend, will be burned. I believe a lot that goes on in the name of Christ, my friend, will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Example, all these mega churches you see going around, amen. There's nothing with a lot wrong having a large membership, but a lot of it is strut, amen. A lot of it is the flesh, you know. You see it in the Christian, so-called Christian periodicals. Oh, this church is running, 5,000 in Sunday school, and all they're running all these buses. And all really, a lot of it is bringing attention to self. A preacher making a name for himself, amen. Him getting the honor and glory instead of the Lord. I believe the scriptures talk about those Christians that lose rewards and how they behave, amen. Let's look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Paul warns us about those Christians. Romans chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them, note them. Mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. He's saying, to mark them, to call out, to notice those who cause division offenses. And the way they do that is by not obeying the Word of God as they've been taught, amen. And he says, for they that are such, amen, in other words, the ones that cause division or offenses and do things contrary to the doctrine, to the Word of God, the ones that we're supposed to avoid, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That's the type of Christian who behaves like that, that's going to lose their rewards. Also, Romans chapter 14, in verse number 13, says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge us rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion of falling in his brother's way. So Christians who are stumbling block to other Christians, amen, especially Christians who have been saved for many years, who cause newly saved Christians to be a stumbling block to them, I believe that are going to lose their rewards. Look at also in 2 Thessalonians with me. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse number 6, notice what Paul says there. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse 6. He says, now we command you, here's a command from Paul, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after traditions which he received of us. Again, you are to withdraw from them. Amen. Every brother that walketh disorderly. I believe those that walketh disorderly are going to lose their rewards. Then also look at the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, talks about a group of people, and I believe he's talking about Christians, but he calls them enemies of the cross. Philippians chapter 3, and once we get to Philippians chapter 3, we want to begin in verse 16. Philippians 3, verses 16 through 19. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Paul's talking about Christians. He calls them enemies of the cross. Amen. Again, we're to mark them. We're to stay away from them. Those that did not walk as the example that Paul had set. Amen. He says their end is destruction. Amen. God might take them home early. Amen. They can continue in their sin. God is their belly. All they're doing is thinking of fulfilling the desires of the flesh. They're going to bring shame upon them. They mind earthly things instead of heavenly things. All these type of folks, I believe, are going to lose their rewards. Look at in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy with me. Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we want to look at the first five verses. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And here he's talking about the church. That's what I believe in the last days. That's the characteristic of the church. And certainly these folks that act this way are going to lose their salvation. So we've seen, number one, a Christian can lose their testimony. Number two, they can lose their reward. Number three, a Christian can lose the joy of his salvation. Looking in Psalm chapter 51, Psalm 51 with me. This is a Psalm of David. In Psalm 51, in verse number 12, we read, he says, David, praying to the Lord, asking forgiveness, and he says in Psalm 51:12, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." So evidently a Christian can lose his salvation. Lose the joy of his or her salvation. Amen. David had lost the joy of his salvation. His sweet fellowship with the Lord. Because of his sins of adultery and murder. Amen. Remember, they committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah the Hittite murdered in battle. And this is exactly what happens when you sin. You break fellowship with the Lord. You lose the joy of your salvation. You lose the joy that comes as a result of your fellowship with God. The reason being is that sin separates the believer from God. You don't lose your salvation, but you do lose the joy of walking with him and talking with him. Amen. We saw this with Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned against God. Amen. They hid themselves and became afraid of God. And it's similar to when you have done something to offend a friend. The joy of that friendship is taken away, is it not? You see, my friend, God has feelings. And oftentimes we act in such a way that grieves him. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God, amen? Ephesians chapter 4 with me, in verse number 30, great verse of Scripture, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Amen. Grieve means to offend, to displease, to provoke. Amen. So you can lose the joy of your salvation. Amen. You can, by sin, by breaking fellowship with God. Amen. You grieve God when you sin. You displease him. Amen. The Word of God tells us that our prayer life will suffer as a result of sin. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, the psalmist wrote, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, how do we restore the joy of our salvation? Well, we need to go back to Psalm 51, amen, and follow David's example. If you want the joy of your salvation restored, Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, we want to look at the first four verses there. Notice what David says here to God. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. What did David do? First of all, he confessed. He acknowledged, I'm the one that sinned. He didn't try to place the blame on anyone else, praise the Lord. And then he repented of that sin. And then what did he do after that? He asked God for his mercy and forgiveness. See, when you sin, when you break fellowship with the Lord, you lose the joy of your salvation, but you can restore the joy of your salvation, as David did, by confessing, acknowledging your sin, repenting of it, ask God for his mercy and forgiveness. Remember to always claim the promise. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, see, it's conditional. We have to do something. We have to confess our sins. And if we do that, we're promised this. He, amen, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord for that. So then we can see that so far we've seen we can lose three things as a Christian. Amen. We can lose our testimony, we can lose our reward, and we can lose the joy of our salvation. The fourth thing the Christian can lose is his mind. His mind. Oh, you may say, well, I'm crazy, but let's look at here. I'm basing everything on the Word of God, amen, in these studies. I'm not making up anything. I don't have any private interpretation of Scripture. I'm just taking the Bible, literally, the King James Bible, the Word of God. That's what it is. King James Bible is the Word of God. If you get anything else, you don't have the Word of God, amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, the Word of God says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what will happen? In the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see that? Notice verse 7. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe the inference is that a Christian can lose their mind. I believe the Christian can do this by letting the cares and worries of this old world consume them. Allow these worries and cares of the world to fill their hearts and minds with worry and fear. Amen. The Scriptures tell us in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Amen. Choke the word. Choke the word out of the Christian. Amen. However, I believe that the Christian can prevent this from happening. Amen. If they'll follow God's prescription in verse 6. Amen. To be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. See, if you're really trusting in the Lord, like you say you are, a lot of Christians say, oh, I'm just trusting the Lord, and I'm going to put it in his hands, and let him lead. So they're just saying that with their lips. They don't really mean it, because then you see them all worried, full of worry and fear and everything. Amen. But if you really trust in the Lord, believe what the Word of God says. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. That's what that mean, careful means. Don't worry about anything. But instead of doing that, instead of focusing your mind on your troubles and your worries and your cares, your focus should be, it says, be careful for nothing. But, see, this is what we're to do instead of worrying. Do this. But, he says, in everything, not a few things, little things, a couple of things, just the important things. He says, but in everything by prayer, whatever it is, whatever troubling you, whatever care, whatever worry it is, large, small, minute, you're to take the Lord in prayer, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving. So you have prayer, supplication, and with those two things goes thanksgiving. Thanking God for being able to come to Him with your problem, with your care, with your worry, and thank Him for how He's going to work, because you know He is. And He says, let your request be made known unto God. Instead of worrying about the thing, spend your time and energy bringing it to the Lord God in prayer and in supplication and with thanksgiving. And if you do that, if you let Him know, see, He knows already what's going on in our lives, because He knows everything. He's all powerful, He's all knowing, He's everywhere all the time. Amen. But see, He wants you to communicate with Him. He sees what your problem is. But still, He wants you to direct your problems and your cares to Him. Let Him know. Speak to Him. Amen. Whatever it may be, bring your request to Him. Make it known to Him. Amen. And then He's promised that He's going to give you the peace of God that only God can give, which passes all understanding. You know, all those Rhodes Scholars, all those so-called intellectuals at Harvard and Yale, and all those Ivy League schools and MIT and so forth and so on, amen, can't figure it out. Amen. It's past human understanding is what He's saying here. And that He'll give you the peace of God that passes human understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You won't lose it. Amen. You'll keep it together. Amen. You'll keep it together because God is with you. He's working. He's going to take care of it. Amen. My friend, that worry and fear that you may have, that you're experiencing, is certainly not of God, but is of the devil. Amen. Remember, the Word of God reminds us, what does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7? I recommend you jot this down, highlight it, put it to memory. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Then who has? If God hasn't given you and I the spirit of fear, amen, then it's got to be the devil, right? God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Then what has God given us? But of power and love and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord for that. Let's wrap up our study today. We looked at four things a Christian can lose. Amen. His testimony, his reward, his joy of his salvation, his mind. My friend, have you lost one or more of these? Amen. But praise God, the Christian cannot lose his salvation, that he's eternally secure in the hand of Almighty God. Praise the Lord for that. Shout amen right there. Praise the Lord. If you're listening today, where will your eternal soul spend eternity? We saw from the scriptures it will be one of two places, either heaven or hell. The choice is yours. Right now, my friend, if you'd like that eternal security we've talked about, amen, won't you come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you for your sins. Receive Jesus Christ into your heart by faith, believing that Christ died. He died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day to save your soul from going to hell. Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you call on His name today and be saved? We've run out of time here on the Pastor Study. I've been very blessed today to have you listening to me. I praise the Lord for it. I pray if I can be a blessing to any of you listening, you just contact me at the address that the young lady at the end of the broadcast will be giving you in just a moment. Until we meet again on the Pastor Study, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. My prayer for each and every one of you is that God would richly bless you, and good day.